You're listening to the Resilient Isles podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jay.
So we apologize about the tardiness for this recap episode. Jay and I have been in San Diego at Comic-Con. So naturally, with the crazy rush that Comic-Con is, we did not have any time that we thought we were going to be able to podcast. Like, silly me, I was like, oh, great, we can podcast, you know, when we get back from the con, go back to our hotel. No. We literally would leave the hotel at 5:30 in the morning and not get back until 10 o'clock at night. And when we did get back, we passed the fuck out.
And so, yeah, we're sorry, and it was fun.
We got our nerd on, which was amazing. It was a great time. It's the best vacation I've had in the longest time that I can remember.
To me, it was the best ever. Like, I've never experienced something that's great.
In this episode, we're going to recap season 3, episode 6, Moneymaker.
So, it starts off with this masked guy on a bed. And then this lady comes in, like, wearing a mask. It's like this masquerade type of deal. It seems like they're basically ready to do the deed.
They're gonna do it.
Yeah. She gets this syringe and she ejects it, and it don't say where she. It looks like she was, at first I thought he was diabetic or something. Like, she was ejected his stomach or something. I didn't know where he was ejected. I don't know, because it didn't really show, which a good thing they didn't, because of course they wouldn't, because it's TNT. We find out later where, but it could have been his stomach or his arm or his hand. Like, we really don't know, because they just, you know, it's like, it's from the neck down. It could have been his leg. We don't know.
Okay.
He starts convulsing. Yeah, and dies, basically. I mean, he's in the first scene. He's one of them, so you're going to have to die.
And he's dead. Yeah, basically.
And he's dead. So we head to Mara's place, and Mara is making coffee. But the way she's doing it, she's like, hot water and like she's really,
and pump it 4 times. You're like, oh, that's so erotic.
Someone has some very extreme sexual frustration. I mean, it's very sexual. Like, oh, the coffee beans, and even Jane is like, I just want coffee. I don't want coffee porn.
Coffee porn. That was awesome.
So she goes in the cupboard and she gets instant coffee, and Mara's like, where did you get instant coffee? And Jade has like that guilty smile, like, you know, I snuck it in. Come on. I practically live here. My beer's in your fridge. Joe Fry's in the backyard.
I love how Mara was insulted that there was instant coffee in her cupboard, though.
I know.
She's like, you can't be patient. You have to have instant coffee. Ugh.
Yeah. Jane's like, she's like, I just want my coffee. I don't want a whole coffee orgy thing. I just want coffee. So,
yeah, I know.
So Angela walks in and she's dressed to kill. She has like a cute little dress on, and they're like, why are you dressed up? She's like, I'm, you know, just going to work.
Did they ever say why she was so dressed up?
No, I have a feeling she's dressing up to impress a certain cop.
Lieutenant
named Kavanaugh, maybe. I know. I wish it was
cool. I don't understand. Why would they give us the shit with Korsak, and then all of a sudden they're going the Kavanaugh direction?
In the books, apparently in the books, it's Korsak and Angela. They hit it off. Maybe they're steering away from it because they're trying to steer completely away from the books, and we don't have to worry about Jane and Dean with the baby. No,
that's dumb. Korsak and Angela should be together. Yeah, I'm just saying.
They should. Angela's complaining like she hasn't worn heels in a while, and Jade's like, yeah, 30 years is a while. This is the stupidest. I hate when they do this shit, and it's not just Resilient Isles, but any show. Product placement. Jinx. No, I'm kidding. product placement. I hate it. And it was so bad.
Yeah. It was just downright blatant.
Mara's like, oh, try these Dr. Scholl's heels. Like, she's basically,
and like, yeah, she like poses with them. It's like Vanna White. Try these Dr. Scholl's heels for women. And she's looking at the camera and smiling.
It's so easy. Anyone could do it. And then like they have to put it in the shoe. And Anne's just like, oh my god, it worked. They're so comfortable.
Do you remember the Truman Show?
No.
Oh my god, there's a part in the Truman Show where the wife and Truman are like in an argument, and in the middle of the argument, she does this product placement. That's what this reminds me of. It's like, pause for Rizzoli and Isles. We're going to throw in a 10-second commercial right here, so everybody get ready for it.
It's just, like, I know Fringe do it too, like, with the Sprint phone or the car logo, like, as it drives away, or they, like, they're doing the whole, like, dashboard thing, like, oh, look, nope, yeah. Like, hands-free thing, but that this was horrible, like, this was so bad.
I miss the days when you used to just see billboards and somebody was drinking a Coke. I hate now that they're actually, like, incorporating this stuff into their dialogue.
Right. Why can't you just, like,
strategically place something on somebody's desk?
Exactly. If they, like you said, with the Coke, just have them drink Coke. Like on American Idol. The Coke, they don't, like, oh, it's Coke. They actually just have, like, the product on their judge table or something.
Yeah, exactly. There's a difference between putting the Coke on the judge's table and singing a song about Coca-Cola.
Thank you. She could have been like, oh, you know, wearing heels and then, like, dig into a cupboard and the Dr. Scholl's thing was on. She takes it on and then she puts them on.
Yeah, like, Angela comes out and has her shoes on and Maura just takes it out of the cupboard, goes, here, try these. And that's it. That's the end of it.
Or Angela walks in with the Dr. Scholl's things in her hand, and then she takes off her shoes and she puts them on. Because we recognize the packaging. Come on. There's yeah. Dr. Scholl's on it.
I mean, I understand that shows need funding and shows need sponsorship. This whole incorporating shit into dialogue is starting to irritate the fuck out of me. Though, I love the way 30 Rock does it. Have you ever seen that?
What did they do?
30 Rock will be like, they were talking, and then all of a sudden they went into plugging some Verizon wireless, blah, 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 and Tina Fey turns to the camera and goes, can we have our money now? And then, like, cut to commercial break.
Well, it's a comedy, so but it makes sense.
It makes sense, but see, you can do it so that it fits the show. This whole plugging Dr. Scholl's right in the middle of a scene doesn't fit Rizzoli and Isle.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the genre. If it's a comedy, you can do it because it's funny. Like, you can actually make it plug, like you said with the Dirty Rock thing. It's like something funny. You can actually plug it in like that. But with a drama, it's really hard because Taurus takes it away from the story. Back to the episode. Jane thinks Angela has a admirer at the office, at the cafe, and I'm like, yeah, it's Kavanaugh, you know that. So Angela leaves. Maura gets a phone call, and it's Hope. And Hope wants to have dinner and wants to bring Caitlin. Of course, you know, Mara's like, oh, yeah, it's fine, whatever. She hangs up and she starts to panic. Because she's like, my house is a mess, which it's not. It's the cleanest house ever.
I know. Jane was great. She was saying how, oh, you should be embarrassed to have anybody else but me over.
And then, you know, Mara's talking about what kind of food we're going to have. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I can't prepare myself like this. I don't even know what she likes. But does she like this? Does she like that? And Jane's like, oh, thank God it's a phone call about crime. Because she gets a phone call
about the crime scene. What does she say? Murder saves the day.
Yeah. And then Mara's like, well, I can't go. And Jane's like, oh, that's fine. I can do the autopsy by myself. I've seen it plenty of times. It's totally good. And she's like, no, I need to take a shower, you know, because it seems like they just came from running. And Jade's like, okay, 3 minutes. Like, I don't know what Jade in 3 minutes. Like, every time Maura has to change or take a shower, Jade's like, 3 minutes. And she's like, 3 minutes or the hot water is off. And she's like, this way. And Maura, like, runs to the bathroom. Take a 3 minute shower, which isn't it takes 3 minutes to take your clothes off. Like, how can she possibly?
Yeah, no, I'm with her. It takes 3 minutes just to rinse my hair, let alone wash everything else.
This is Maura, she has to pick out her outfit,
and she has to do her hair. I guarantee you, that hair takes, like, at least an hour to do after you get out of the shower.
It wasn't 3 minutes. It was more like 3 hours. So we head to the crime scene 3 hours later. Jane and Mara, they're talking, and Jane is looking at the house listing, which was, like, at the house that the murder was, and it was $3 million for that house. Mara is not paying attention. She's still panicking about the whole dinner. She's like, what if she's vegan? What if she's allergic to seafood? And then Jane's like, well, you don't have to worry about that if she's vegan. And then Mara's like, she's not vegan. When I said she was vegan? And Jane had this look like, you just said... She's like, never mind. Mara's like, I can't prep a dinner in 10 hours. Jane's like, yeah, because it takes 4 hours just to make coffee.
Which was awesome.
So Mara starts her little heavy breathing thing, which was a great callback to season 2, with another dinner for her mom. And Jane's like, please stop. Not the heavy breathing thing again. Just stop. She's like, just ask my mom to cook dinner and invite her over. That's how you're going to pay her back. Just invite her over. I was like, oh, another in-law dinner. Part 2. So it's Corsack, Frost, Jane and Mara, and they're talking to the real estate agent, who was really, she was a bitch, basically. And she hesitated to give Jane the card, because she's like, cops really can't afford a house like this. I was like, bitch, what the fuck?
Oh yeah, she gave the card to Mara, but not to Jane, and Jane was like, why didn't you give me a card?
Right. She's like, oh, because of cop's salary. I'm like, she's practically married to Mara, I mean, 50-50, just saying.
She only gave Mara the card because she thinks Mara wears the pants in the relationship. So Mara's obviously going to be the one negotiating the price for the house.
There you go. So they find an ear on a fence, and then...
It's kind of gross, just saying.
I'm not even going to explain how the ear... But anyway.
Got there.
So they kept looking at the car, and apparently the car belonged to the victim. And then this garbage truck comes, and Jane sees the garbage truck, and for some odd reason, because she's Superwoman, she figures out that the body is in the garbage can. I don't know how did she figure that out. That made no sense at all. I was like, yeah, of course. This is the same Jane that figured out the reason why Mara buying all that crap is because of Hope. Of course she's going to figure out that the body is in the garbage can. So they stop the garbage man from putting the garbage in the can because obviously the body's in there. And of course the body's in there with half of an ear. And
the
Mara...
only thing I could think is because she was following the droplets of blood, so she kind of, like, looked up and, like, made the connection that that's where the general direction of where the blood was going. That's the only thing I could come up with.
But they made a whole big deal about the car, and they're saying, I bet the body is in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because I'm pretty sure you have to have a warrant to look in the trunk of a car, so they weren't going to be looking in there anytime soon.
I guess garbage cans don't need warrants either. I don't know.
Well, technically, I believe it was ruled that if the garbage is on the curb, it's owned by the state or something like that. It becomes state property. There was a whole big case or something about garbage, and once it's on the curb, is it still considered private property, or has it become public or state-owned property?
Yeah. We should stop going into details about the crime plots, because...
We should just stop talking about the plot at all. This is going to become Rizzoli and Isles, where we only talk about what Jane and Mara do.
Right. That'll be 20 minutes long. Okay, so the body's in the garbage can with half of an ear, with the mask and all that on. Mara still wants to do tests to match if the ear belongs to the dude. I was like, Mara, seriously? He has half of an ear. Like, it's his ear.
That was awesome. She's like, I need to take conclusive tissue samples before I will confirm that the ear belongs to the body.
And James was like, come on. Seriously?
He's missing an ear.
It's him. Duh. So we head to the morgue, and we find out that the victim was an investor. And Jane wants to wonder why he was wearing the cloak and the mask. And Mara's joking around, saying, well, maybe he was hiding. And Jane's like, oh, good call, Sherlock Holmes.
Which, my immediate reaction was, no, she is not Sherlock Holmes. Mara is John Watson.
Dude, I was just, I was thinking like, totally thinking like, I was thinking the exact same. I was like, she's Watson. She's not Sherlock Holmes. You're Sherlock Holmes, Jane. She's Watson.
Thank you. Because Watson is the doctor, and he's the sidekick for Sherlock Holmes. You know, get it.
And Lucy Liu's going to play Watson.
I'm kind of excited to see that, just saying. Everybody can diss the show and Lucy Liu as much as they want, but I fucking love Lucy Liu, and I think she's gonna rock that Watson like no other.
And she's totally not seen that because she saw a pilot at Comic-Con. But anyway. Spoiler alert. Okay.
Spoiler alert. I've already seen the pilot. Spoiler alert. It's awesome. So,
apparently there was a substance on the cloak and blonde hair, and they're gonna go through testing. And they said the victim died of cardiac arrest. So then Mara tells Jane, was like, hey, I need to show you the victim's penis. And Jane's like, you know, I really don't really need to see it. I don't want to see it. And Mara's like,
I was waiting for her to grab it.
Yeah.
Just saying, just test it out, take it for a ride, see how it fits. You know.
Oh, God. Anyway, Jane, like, they were looking at it, and Jane says, well, there's really not much to see. And I was like, oh!
Burn!
Mara asks if she saw the needle marks, and Jane's like, I wasn't literally looking that close. Like, I don't know. And apparently the victim had erectile dysfunction, and that's what the woman was ejecting. The syringe was going into his penis. Oh, God.
Ugh.
And he couldn't use Viagra because of his heart condition. And he was left-handed, and that's why there were so many needle marks on the left-hand part. There were also needle marks on the right side part. So they're saying, hey, someone else injected him. And apparently his penis did not have a pulse.
Well, it didn't look like she grabbed it at all, thankfully.
And if it did, that would be really, really a zombie moment because his heart was out of his chest. That would be bad. So we head to this high school theater, and it's Jane and Frost, and they're interviewing the business partner of the victim. And they're thinking that someone was unhappy because of the investments. And the partner says, like, business was good. The victim was a great guy because all the victims are great people, apparently. I want a victim who's an asshole. Can I have a victim who's an asshole? Make that into an episode, Janet. I don't think you're listening to this, but just seriously, not all victims are good.
Okay. That's true. That would be great. Oh, I totally have the premise behind that one.
Okay.
Like, they rescue some crotchety old guy who's alone and he hates people because his kids don't want nothing to do with him. Because, like, in the end, he's just lonely and he's like, you're okay, Detective Rizzoli. Oh, that'd be such a good episode.
Like, or don't kill the victim in the beginning. Like, kill him, like toward the middle, and then, or, like, another person dies, and he's an asshole, and he dies.
I've got it! They could have a copycat episode.
Of Hoyt?
Of Hoyt.
Yes.
But, like, nothing has happened yet. Where they're sending letters to the police, and they're trying to figure it out. Nobody's died yet, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the episode, a body shows up. Ugh.
I'm telling you, anyone who wants us to be writers of the show, can we please be writers of the show? There's like 4 or 5 episodes that we've thought of in the past year that will just make it fantastic. Back to the show. So the victim partner is saying that he will help find the killer. We head to Mara's place. We have Angela, Jane, and Mara, and they're preparing dinner. And Angela and Mara is telling Jane to do, like, you go stir the pasta and you go open the wine and do this and do that and all this stuff. And Jay's like, okay, I got it. I'll do this and that. She's just being such a good wife. She's just adorable. So Hope and Caitlin, they arrive a minute early. Mara starts to panic. She's like, oh my God, they're a minute early. Oh my gosh. She sees the drawing on the wall and she tells Jane to hide it in the bathroom, which I was like, this is a clue. Come on. It's just so obvious. So Jane, as she goes to the bathroom and she hides the drawing, and it was so cute, before she goes in and Mara's, like, about to go to the door, she's like, Mara. And Mara, like, turns around, and Jay just gives, like, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine. Before she closes the door.
I know, that's so cute.
It was so adorable. I was like, oh. And Mara.
I like how Jane hides in the bathroom with it, though. She doesn't, like, just, like, throw it in the bathroom under the sink or anything. She goes into the bathroom and shuts the door.
Yeah. So Mara's calm, and then Caitlin and Hope, they come in, and then they're sitting, the next thing you know, they're sitting at the table, and they're talking to Caitlin, and, you know, asking about how does it feel to be in Boston, and she's missing London, and she's texting her friends, and she's not really paying attention. She's just being, like, typical 18-year-old, you know. She's like, I have to use the bathroom. And when she said that, the first thing I thought about, she's going to look at the drawing. That's the first thing I thought about! It was like, I was like, she's going to see the drawing. It's so obvious. Caitlin is using a bathroom, and then Angela is telling Hope it's just a phase. She's going to grow out of it. She's a teenager. And then Hope starts explaining that she took care of Caitlin. Because I forgot what happened. I think she's divorced. I think the parents are, she's divorced her husband.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, at least. Yeah. She said her ex-husband.
Yeah, she said she traveled around the world, and, you know, Caitlin was going to Oxford, and they came back to Boston, and she blames herself, and because she misses her friends and all that. And then Caitlin comes back, and Hope's like, well, I guess I need to use the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, the drawing.
Well, and the thing with Caitlin is, was it Caitlin or Caitlin? I thought it was Caitlin.
Caitlin, whatever. The teenager.
I think it's Caitlin, not Caitlin. But anyway,
okay, go ahead.
She was so polite. She was being a teenager. Same time, she was being so polite about it. And I was reminded of how Maura would be if she was a rebellious teenager. She'd be that whole maybe excuse from the table, but she would be polite about being a teenager.
While this is going on, Angela leaves, I guess, to go do dishes or something. Maura and Jane are talking by the table. They're, like, together, and they're like, Mara's like, I think she hates me. I think my sister hates me. And Jane's like, most teenagers hate everyone. And I'm like, yeah. God, I hate being a teenager. I'm so happy I'm over that phase. But, so Mara, you know, helps Angela with the dishes. Hope it's still in the bathroom. I guess something didn't agree with her. Jane goes and starts talking to her sister-in-law, you know, and offers some cake. And she's like, so what you doing? And Kate's like, I'm listening to music. And she's like, so what kind of music you like? And Kate's like, you know, just music. She's like, you know, you really don't have to try to be nice to me. And Jane's like, you know, what do we do? We're just be nice and see what's going on. And Kate's like, I just want to be alone. And she's like, I'm just going to walk home. And she just leaves. And Hope comes out of the bathroom and she's like, was that Caitlin? And she's like, yeah. And so Hope's like, well, I gotta go. Caitlin's very fragile right now. And so she leaves. And Jane's like, what is going on? So we head to the cafe. Angela is talking to Jane. Jane is eating probably her bunny pancake. Angela's saying, I don't think Caitlin should have been there or should have been forced to have dinner. And Jane's like, well, why were you like this when I was young? So then Mara comes by and she apologized about the drama that happened last night, and she starts handing Angela and Jane this towel that's like lavender or something. I don't know. It's supposed to calm them down.
Yeah, it was some chilled lavender scented towel that's supposed to calm your nerves. And Jane's like, no.
Yeah, and she's like, no, thank you. And Mara starts saying, but it's really good for some ailments. And she just starts like, it's athlete's foot and like vaginal something or whatever. And Jay's like, I'm trying to eat and I don't want the towel. Mara's like, okay, that's fine. Then she's like, well, and then she starts talking about the victim's erectile dysfunction. And Jay's like, I'm still eating. I don't want to know. And she's like, well, do you know what was ejected? And Mara says she's still testing. And then Mara's like, but we did dissect his heart tissue. And Jane just, like, drops her fork. She's like, oh, fuck it. I'm not eating anymore. I'm done. So then Hope comes by, and Jane takes the towel off of Mara's neck. She's like, okay, hey, Dr. Bart, how you doing? She takes it. She's like, okay, I'll call you later. Bye. And then, like, leaves. And then Hope apologizes and saying that Caitlin's sick, and she needs a kidney transplant. And I'm like, I know where this is going. Hope's like, I'm not a match, and she said, not even the father. Hope's like, I can't even help my own daughter. She's like, I help other people, and I can't help my own daughter. And Mara's like, I want to help. And Hope's like, oh, there's nothing you could possibly, there's nothing you could do. It's fine. You don't have to help. I'm like, you only knew. Yeah, she can.
Before the end of the episode, I was kind of the opinion, like, when we found out about the whole Caitlin needing a kidney, my mind immediately went in the direction where Hope knows Mara is her daughter, and she's using Mara and her sympathy to get a kidney for her other daughter, Caitlin. And I was like, oh, that would be so devious and so good because you could set up the whole emotional heartbreak for Mora, and oh, it'd be so awesome. But then the episode end of the episode happened, and I'm like, I don't even know where to go from here.
So we head to Jade's desk, and the crew is looking for clues, and they're saying the victim was sent to the hospital by a rapper named The Driz. And so Frost shows Corsac and Jane The Driz music video. Frankie walks by and said, "Oh my God, I love that song. That's The Driz," and starts rapping and dancing to the song. And the way he's dancing, it looks like he has to pee.
Yeah, he's not even dancing. He's having a seizure.
I don't know. So Frost was just like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "No, no, 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 no." And he's like, "This is how you do it." And so he stands up and he starts teaching Frankie how to dance. And then they dance. I laughed so hard. I was crying laughing. They were dancing and like Jane and Corsac was laughing. I'm laughing because of Jade and Corsac, and it was great. Here comes Sister Bitcher and hits them with a ruler. I'm like, here we go with this shit again. And she's like, I'm very surprised that you barreled for acting like this. And I'm like, will someone please arrest her for hitting cops? Like, seriously, not cool. So then they stop. Jane is like crying, laughing. She's still laughing, and she gets up. She's like, I gotta go check on Mara. And she's still laughing.
I know. She's not just laughing. She's crying laughing.
Okay, so we head to the lab. I love the scene, by the way. Jane sees Mara swabbing a fork. And she's like, okay, was that the cake from last night? And she's like, am I gonna be sick? Because that'd be the first thing I think, too. I'm like, you're swabbing something I had last night. Did you give me something? Or am I contagious? Like, what's going on? And then Mara says, and I quote, I think we are a match. I knew what she was talking about. I knew she was talking about Caitlyn. But the thing about it, which makes it so weird for me, was like, Jane doesn't have no idea about the kidney transplant. And Mara just like, I think we're a match. She should have said, Caitlyn needs a kidney transplant and I'm swabbing this for, like, first before she's, like, who does that? Who goes to somebody and they have a conversation and you just automatically assume she's like, I think we're a match. And then Jane's like, huh, well, you're really not my type, so...
Yeah, when Jane said, you're really not my type, I was like, oh, because that's what you were thinking, Jane? Uh-huh, we weren't thinking that, you were.
And it totally reminded me of I Kissed a Girl when they were in bed together, and Mara's like, you're not my type. So when Jane said it, I was like, ah! So Mara's, she's like, no, I mean Caitlyn. And then Jane was getting confused, she's like, I think we have a different conversation. Because Jane's like, I was just talking about us as a type, and you're talking about your sister, that's gross. Like, she was like, I hope we're having a different conversation here, because if we're not, I'm not gonna be your friend anymore. That's just disgusting. And so that's when Mara's like, no, 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 no. Caitlyn needs a kidney. And Jay's like, oh, okay. Okay, I got it. And Mara's saying she wants to give her kidney to her sister and donate it anonymously. And Jane is telling, like, no, you're not going to do this. I don't want you to do this. And she doesn't understand why Mara would do it. Mara's whole thing is, like, she still doesn't want to tell Hope the truth because it would hurt her feelings. And she's like, besides, all I need is one kidney. You can survive with one kidney. And she said, you know, Caitlyn's dying and she's my sister and I want to do it. And she said, she tells Jay, she's like, you would do it for your brothers. And Jay's like, maybe, only if they were nice.
Yes. Only if they were really, really nice to her.
And this is the part that really, my heartstrings were pulled. She's like, but I'll do it for you. I was like,
And I was like, oh, they're totally a match in more ways than one because they have matching kidneys.
Oh my God. I know. She's like, I would, she with no hesitation. She was just like teasing her brothers, like, I'll think about it, do it for my own blood related, like, brothers. But for Mara, she's like, no hesitation. She's like, but I would totally do it for you. I was like, kiss her. It was so cute. And Mara had this little look and this smile, and I was just like, ah! I couldn't take it. I was like, yeah. Oh my
she's
God.
She's like, you do love me.
I know. She's like, oh. And it wasn't like, because Jane, you know, she usually jokes around, but she could tell she was serious. She's like, no, I will give you my kidney because I love you and I want to have your baby. Like, that's got her. So Sister Winnie sees the Driz and starts arguing with him about his music.
Yeah, doesn't she say it kills people or something like that?
I don't know. So whatever, she leaves because Frost Lake says you need to go, and Frost tells the posse has to stay downstairs. And then Frankie's like, oh, can I please interview with you? And I was like, oh my gosh, Frankie is such a fangirl. And Frost is like, yeah, you can interview, but just don't say anything. So it's Frost, Korsak, and Frege in there in the interrogation room. And basically, Driz was saying that Neil was his investor, and he tried to get his money back, but the business partner that we saw in the high school wouldn't let him. And so he took Neil for a ride. Neil was the victim, by the way. And Frege was like, oh man, I love the car. Apparently, he was driving so fast that the victim had chest pains, and that's why he had to take him to the hospital. You could tell the rapper didn't do it. Basically.
Oh, it's obvious. I mean, come on. The first guy that they always throw at us as a suspect is never the suspect.
Exactly. So we head back upstairs and Frost is apologizing to Sister Winnie. Basically, the reason why she's upset because there was a little boy in her class that died in a drive-by. And she starts to cry. And they could have made it a serious moment. It could have been a moment where you feel sorry for her and you're like, oh, okay, she's not that bad. She does have a heart. But I made it like a comedy moment, so I kind of got out of it and I didn't care. I still don't like the nuns, so it would have, I don't know. I didn't like that part.
I agree. I had the same thing where they're taking these great opportunities to give their characters depth and emotion. They're ruining them for a cheap laugh.
We head back to the interrogation room, and they're now interviewing Dale, the business partner, and he starts talking about that he runs a successful business and he can't give back money to anyone who wants it back. And then he's basically saying, I'm gonna have to talk to my lawyers because I'm not talking to you guys anymore. So we head to the brick, and then Korsak, Frost, and Jane, they're still looking, trying to figure out what's going on. The keychain on the victim was a jump drive, and so they take it out and they see that the jump drive takes you to a sex club website. Basically, the parties are in the vacant homes, and the real estate agent is not a real estate agent. She's actually a prostitute. And they scan her card, because Jane had the card, and they scan for her fingerprints. That's how they found out she's a prostitute, and they're like, well, we need to have a conversation with her. So we head to Mara's office. Hope comes by, talks to Mara. She starts talking about she feels like she barely knows Caitlin, and she blames herself for Caitlin's sickness because apparently they went to they went to some country and Caitlin got infected with this bacteria, which is why she needs a kidney transplant. And she feels like she failed twice because she's saying her first daughter died. I'm like, she's sitting right next to you, by the way. And the second one is dying. And so Mara tells her it's not her fault. Can't blame yourself. And then Hope's like, tells Mara, oh, they thought that we have a donor now. But then she still feels like she lost her daughter, even with the donor. I don't know. It's a touching scene. And then Mara tells her that she hasn't lost her daughter. I'm like, yeah, double meaning. Because she's right next to sitting right next to her.
That was a good catch. I did not catch that.
Hope is saying, thank you for being so nice to me and helpful. And she's saying, she said something about, it's easy to talk to a stranger than to talk to someone you know, because a stranger can't judge or something. It depends. If it's an outfit and you're wearing something weird, I'm going to judge you.
Yeah.
So she feels really attached to Mara because of that. So we head to the restaurant, and it's Korsak and Jane, and they're starting to interview the prostitute, or false real estate agent. And she's saying she knew Neil, and she's basically, once again, still a bitch, and she won't help. And she's like, I don't want to talk to you. And she walks into the restaurant, because they're like in the waiting part of the restaurant, and she walks in where the tables are. And of course, Korsak and Jane are not allowed in because they're not members. This is very high society.
Yeah, it's high society and it's behind a curtain. What the fuck? It was stupid.
Jane starts dialing on her phone, and of course I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I know a member. And of course, the next thing we see is Jane and Mara at a table. Like, ding, ding, ding. Mara, of course, would be a member of every single club, restaurant, anything known to man. Jane is looking for the real estate agent and everything. She's like, where is she? She can't possibly have lunch that fast. Mara and Jane, they're like sitting down and they're having lunch. They're having a date, basically. And Mara starts telling Jane about the lab result and saying he was injected with potassium chloride. She basically says he was injected with potassium chloride in his penis.
It's potassium.
Yeah, potassium chloride.
Potassium.
Potassium. He was injected with something that wasn't Viagra and his penis. That's the whole joke. And she said it loudly, and everyone else in the restaurant is looking at Mara like,
But she said he was injected into his penis. And Jane was like, Mara, you're going to get us kicked out. And that's when Mara says, what, for saying potassium chloride?
Oh, I love her. I love her. And they still don't know if that's the reason that caused the heart failure. Jane starts to complain about the menu. She's like, what is this? And Mara's like, oh, that means lettuce. And Jane's like, so what that means, that is, instead of walls, is be like dividers or something. I think Jane was just complaining about this whole, like, why can't they just say lettuce? Like, why have to be so high society? And it was funny to see Mara laughing at it. Jane sees the prostitute going to the bathroom. And so she's like, oh, there she is. And she's like, I'll be right back. I'll go to the bathroom. Mara's like, I'll go with you. She's like, why? She's like, I have to pee. And Jane's like, you better not be lying to me. And Mara's like, all mammals have to pee.
Which basically she was lying, but she stated a truth to get away with it.
Right. We head to the bathroom. Jane is like, I could be here all day. You're going to have to get out of that stall eventually. So they start asking, her name was Candy. They start asking her questions.
Oh, was that her name? I didn't even know that was her name. I just had her down as Crazy Real Estate Bitch.
That's a good one. Crazy Real Estate Bitch came out. They start asking her questions. And she was saying the victims are nice and Neil was nice, and she didn't kill him. And Mara is like, hi, I'm Dr. Iles. I'm helping with the case. And she started to shake her hand, and the crazy real estate agent bitch didn't shake her hand. It was being mean to Mara, and I wanted to punch her in the face. She was going on saying that they don't screen the girls, and I was like, oh, God, that's disgusting. So Mara was like, I think you should, you know, for STDs. Candy was like, what are you, the health department? And I'm like, no, that's just common sense, dude. That's disgusting. So she's saying that they use the same girls and they have to sign contracts. And then Jane said she wants in at the party to get in the party so they can find out who the killer is. And then she's like, if you don't let me in the party, you're going to jail. Mara asked Candy for a strand of her hair. And Candy's like, ew. But anyway, they get to the lab. And they say Candy's, the bitch hair is not a match. Kavanaugh walks in. Jay starts talking about their plans for the undercover operation, and Mara wants to join. And Jay's like, no, I don't think it's a good idea. And so the lieutenant's like, I agree, she should go to look for evidence. And so he leaves, and Mara gets so excited. She's like, oh my God, I'm so excited to do another undercover thing.
No, she's not excited to be undercover. She's excited to dress up as a high-class hooker.
Because you never dressed like one before. Of course you haven't. Who does? What if Mara was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I've dressed like a high-class hooker before. And the way she did it, like the way she said, oh, I've never dressed like a high-class hooker before, like very funny to Jane. And Jane just had that look like and walked away.
Did we just roleplay that last week?
We head to the house where the party's at. Of course, the way they edited and made it seem like Jade and Mara was dressed up as the hookers, because you see these two women with the same hair color and body shape as Jane and Mara. But of course it was Jane and Mara. They just teased us. They were like, ah, no. So Jane and Mara is actually dressed up as the caterers. So Mara's upset because she's like, oh, the hookers have better outfits. And Jane's like, yeah, but they have to take them off. We have Frost, Frankie, and Corsac there in the undercover van. Frost is checking out the girls and is describing, like, ooh, I like when they look like this and have a body like this. Because they're looking through a hidden camera. And Jane's like, you know I can hear you guys. Jane starts walking around with the drinks and stuff. And she's taking the hair out of, like, the hooker. And every time she passes a hooker, like, ow! She's like, I'm sorry, my bad, I'm sorry. So then Jane sees the coach. He was in the high school theater. And she's like, well, he's not with his wife, and what is he doing here? Because he was with Candy, and it looks like him and Candy was hooking up, just saying. We see a hooker walk into a closet where Mara is, and I'm like, insert joke here.
No, it wasn't a closet, it was a bathroom.
Where was the toilet?
I don't know, but there was, I'm pretty sure, if there wasn't a sink, I thought there was a sink, but there was definitely a mirror there. Who has a mirror, like a whole wall mirror in their closet?
Rich people. It's not. House.
There's no way. That was not a closet.
I mean, look at Mariah Carey. She has a closet just for shoes. They're in something, and there was some room, And Mara was looking through the microscope, and she was hiding because she didn't want anyone to know that they're undercover. And so the girl is noticing Mara's outfit and was like, what are you wearing? What metal are you? And Mara's like, oh, I'm not a call girl. And so the girl's like starts teasing and being mean. She's drunk. She probably don't even remember what she said.
She asks what level of metal Mara is. And Mara, I don't know if she says, we're not a level or something like that. And you're not even an iridium. Iridium. And Mara goes, an iridium. Then she was like, oh, what are you, tin? Like, she was laughing at herself. And that's when Jane walks in and says, we're aluminum foil. And then rips her hair out of her head.
I was like, that's right. Protect your girl, Jane. Protect her. And the girl's like, ow.
She says, everybody here is a pervert.
Jane locks the door and gives the hair to Mara, and she tests it, and she's like, it's close, but they don't match. And so Jane's like, oh, okay. She's like, I'll go and see if there's more hair in the leather room. I was just like, oh, God. So Mara's like, huh, leather. And she starts talking about the history of leather. And she's like, yeah, you know, there's this fetish about leather. And Jane looks at Mara, and she's like, uh-uh. And she, like, goes and walks away. Mars is still at the microscope, like, looking at it, and she's like, yeah, you know, people, like, wear all kinds of leather, like, you can wear this and that, and so she looks up, and she sees Jane is gone, and she's still talking about leather, and she's like, whips and belts, and talk about leather.
She has a leather fetish.
So Jane is walking around, and she hears a scream, and she runs by the balcony, and she sees there's a body in the pool, and she's like, oh no, Candy. I'm like, yay, she's dead. So we head to the morgue, and apparently Candy was pushed into the pool, and she had this big gash on her head, and none of the call girl's hair was a match. And Jane was looking at the ring, so they're saying the substance on Neil's cloak was from food service. And so they're saying, oh, man, we were looking at the wrong people's hair. We should look at a caterer's hair, and that the caterer was the killer. And so Jane sees a fingerprint on the ring, and so they're trying to figure it out. So then we head to the high school theater, and there's the coach and the coach's wife there. So Jane and Frost is there, and they're arresting the coach.
They arrested the coach for embezzling, because he basically took everybody's pension money and used it to buy a ring for a hooker.
Yes. They arrested the wife. I think she was trying to set up Candy, and then she kills Candy. We head to Mara's place. Mara's alone, and she hears a doorbell, and it's Caitlin. She comes by, and Mara's like, hey, what's the matter? What's wrong? And Caitlin's basically saying, I know the truth. But she shows Mara the article, and she's like, I know the truth. I know who you are. She's saying that Hope is trying to make up time since she's dying. And she starts crying, saying, oh, but don't worry. I would never have kids at 18 or have a baby that dies. And then she said, I noticed a drawing in the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, I know, because she kept saying bathroom in the beginning. I'm like, we figured that out. And Mara, you know, she's crying too, and she's trying to explain. And Caitlin was saying, it's so hard growing up in the shadow of a dead baby. And she said, which is really funny because you're alive. And she's like, I don't want your kidney. I don't want any part of you inside of me. Or something like that.
That was her teenage tantrum right there.
Hope comes in, and she called the police and followed Caitlin. And Kate's like, you called the police? And she's like, yeah, you just left, but you took the car. I don't know what's going on. And she's like, what is the matter? What's going on? And Mara's like, telling Hope, I need to tell you something. And she says, Hope, I'm Doyle's daughter. I'm your daughter. And Hope's like, what? I don't understand. And she's like, Doyle lied to you that I was dead, but I'm not trying to look for a new mom. She's like, I have parents. I'm not looking for a relationship. I was adopted.
Hope. No, she keeps saying that, but then she keeps calling Hope her mother and Patty her father, which is totally stupid.
I know! She's a hypocrite when it comes to this. I don't know what Mara wants when it comes to her parents.
Mara doesn't even know what she wants.
Exactly. So Hope's like, don't talk to me. Just can that be possible? And she's like, come on, Caitlin, let's go. And
yeah, and the reaction from Hope was way overreactive.
Well, dude, 36 years, she thought her daughter was dead. You think she'd be like, oh, that's all right, it's fine.
No, but she was like flipping out and like trying to rush Caitlin away. And no, if you found out that this woman in front of you was your daughter that you thought was dead for 36 years, don't you think you would want to have a calm discussion about what the fuck is going on, not just, oh, come on, let's go. We're gonna go. Oh my god, I can't take this. No, that's so stupid.
That is, you're right, it was overreacting. I think what I would do, I would just stand there. I wouldn't even say anything, because I'll be in shock.
Yeah, she didn't even have a time to, like, a chance to be in shock. When you have news that's that big, it takes a second to process. She didn't even have a chance to process the information that Mara was giving her. She didn't even question it.
I would have rather her say nothing and just walk away. Just be like, if Mara was going to say something, she just holds up her hand and be like, don't, and then just walk away.
That would be dramatic, because then Mara would be heartbroken silently.
Right. Like Mara, because Mara stands there and she breaks down and she starts crying. And I was like, oh, I just want to give her a hug. So then Jane comes by, because obviously Mara called Jane. Jane is there to comfort Mara, and Mara's still crying, you know, Jane's handing her tissues. And they're sitting on the couch, and Mara saying, you know, she thought of all these scenarios, and that was not the one she thought of. So that makes her cry some more, and Jane's like, well, Hope is in shock. I mean, she will calm down eventually. Like, how would you feel if you found out your dead baby is alive? Mara saying she's upset about Caitlin's illness, and Jane's like, well, you can't force a kidney on her, Mara. And Mara's like, I wish I can. And she's saying she never meant to cause them pain, and she just feels awful. Jane's saying, well, I told you family sucks, and hands her another tissue, and Mara's like, nope, I'm done. I'm all cried out. I'm done. I don't want to cry. I'm done. She's like, seriously, I'm not crying anymore. And she's like, and I'm insulted. And Jane's like, oh, what did I do this time? Mara's like, no, it's not you. I'm upset that Caitlin didn't want my kidney. And she's like, and it was a good kidney. She's like, yeah, I bet you that kidney is great. How dare she? She's like, you should keep it in your body. And then they start laughing. And that was the end of the episode. So, Amanda, what was your gay thing?
I don't know. It's kind of in between witty banter and just friends.
You have to choose one. You have to choose one, like you do to me.
I guess I would go with witty banter. Yeah, so I'd pick two and go with witty banter. Because they had the whole crack about, oh, I'm not your match.
I have to go with number three. She wants me not.
Really?
I mean, the Jane and Mara parts, just the Jane and Mara parts, was so adorable. I could not stop smiling. I mean, I'm not your type thing. Remind me of Kissed a Girl. I will give you my kidney. Oh, that was my heart just melted. And the fact that Jane was sitting on the couch and comforting Mara. And, you know, Jane was just such a good girlfriend. I just, like, she was helping with the dinner. And she was trying to talk to Caitlin. And to me, it was so sweet. I really like this episode more than the last one, because when they had the Hope and Mara parts, it wasn't funny. It was serious. It wasn't like a comedy thing like the last one. So I really love that part about it. I mean, the ending part, you were right about that. That's the only thing I would change. But other than that, every time Hope was mentioned or something, I really enjoyed this episode. I really did. You probably didn't, but I did.
I mean, it was okay. Part of it, I know what I normally do is when an episode is good enough, with the Jane and Mara scenes, I can overlook the flaws that take place in the rest of the show. But I had a really hard time overlooking the whole Hope storyline. Because at first I thought that's what they were going to do. I thought they were going to do it where Hope came back to try, because she knew who Mara was. She was trying to get Mara's kidney for her daughter, which was incredibly devious, but that would have made for a great dramatic scene for Mara. But the way the episode ended just makes you think, okay, that's not gonna happen, because instead of Hope going, oh, we still want your kidney, she just like had a complete meltdown and they left.
Why would they put the kidney thing in the first place? I have a feeling that this is not gonna be the last time we're gonna see Hope and Caitlin. I have a feeling that Caitlin's gonna be really sick and Hope is gonna be really desperate. She's going to come with her senses and ask Mara, you know, you're a match. Please, can I get your kidney?
I got it. So we've got, what, 3 episodes until the finale, mm-hmm. or the mid-season finale. I hate this, by the way. There's multiple finales per season. I don't like it. But anyway, so maybe this season finale, Mara is going to be the one to get shot. And then she's going to be telling James, she's like, I want my kidney to go to Caitlin. And then she's going to, like, pass out. And then it ends.
So you're saying on August 7th that...
Well, I don't know what the date is. I'm saying
this summer finale, you're saying that Mara's going to get shot, and she's going to get injured, and she's going to give her kidney to Caitlin.
I'm just saying that could be the direction that they go in. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could totally see that it going in that direction.
Okay.
The finales are always so dramatic. I mean, all the shit that happens to Jane, not to mention next episode she gets kidnapped.
Here's the thing, I'm going to say this and then we're going to move on to the email. I'm very fearful of the summer and the whole finale of the show. Dude, we're on what, episode like 7? We have yet to get to 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
So far in the 7 episodes, we've had a fight, a car crash, Bar almost lost a leg, Hope comes, like, this Hope storyline, kidney transplant, Jane gets kidnapped, and this is like 7 episodes. What are they gonna do for the summer and the winter finale? It has to be bigger than that. I mean, their lives have already been in danger in 7 episodes. What are they gonna do in the finales? That's what makes me even scared, because I'm like, is someone gonna die? Like, I mean, gosh, they're gonna freaking, like, put them in a coma or some shit. Like, I don't understand. Like, it gotta be huge. we have a cold case. We have an email from a listener.
Her name is Maria Elena, and she has a couple comments. One of them is, how can Jane tell the body in the garbage can only has one ear when the left side of his head is up against the side of the garbage can? Which, if you see, I believe it was his right ear that was missing. So I think that's how we know that one. It was his right ear, so if his left ear is leaning against the garbage can, it leaves his right ear in full view. Second comment, she says, okay, I really had a problem with the removal of the picture. I mean, wouldn't Mara be stressed about having an empty nail on the wall? Why didn't she move something into its place? Also, if Mara gave the picture to Angela, why is it hanging in her house again and not the guest house? Which was a great catch. I didn't realize that at first, but after you emailed us, it totally makes sense. Why, if Mara gave the picture to Angela, is it hanging back up in her house?
The reason when Mara gave Angela the drawing, she said she hated it. And it was from her mom, and she had no idea that the drawing was actually a drawing of her biological mother. So when she gave it to her, she's like, you can keep it. This is when she was fighting with Jane, and she had no idea. It wasn't until Jane put the two pictures together of the actual picture of the woman and the drawing, and she showed it to Mara, and she said, this is your grave and your mom. So she gave it back to Mara in the premiere. And that's when Mara and Jane was at the grave, and Mara figured out why her mom has never looked for her. So Jane gave the drawing back to Mara. She took it from Angela. So I feel like once Mara knew what the drawing was about, Angela said, well, since you know the real meaning, I'll let you have it back. So I think that's the reason why.
I think that's a stretch.
What? You had a baseball or something. You're like, I don't like baseball. And you had no meaning of the baseball, and you gave it to someone. And you find out that that baseball was actually the baseball of Babe Ruth or something that your great-great-great-something caught. And then you'd be like, oh, man, I want that back. The next question was, what was the whole point of the chilled lavender towels?
Yeah, you got us. We have no idea.
I don't know.
And next she talks about, how did Anal Mara have a sample of Kaylin's DNA the day after the dinner party? I don't know, because she didn't find out that Kaylin needed the kidney until Hope came the next day. So naturally, Mara would have done the dishes that night.
I didn't catch that until she mentioned it, because she also says she didn't even know Kaylin was sick the night of the dinner, so she has no reason to save the dish in the utensil, and Angela would have done the dishes the same night. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Especially because she had the cake, too. And I'm like, why was she keeping it? She would have threw it away. But this is what they should have done. I think what they were trying to do is, like, we need to find a way to have Mara test that she's a match. This is what they should have done. When Hope came into the cafe, and this is during the towel scene, Hope should have brought Caitlin with her. Angela would have saw Caitlin and asked if Caitlin wanted something to drink or something. And she's like, sure. They go to the bar section of the cafe. Jane leaves, and then it's Hope and Mara. They start talking about Caitlin's illness. So then after they talk, Caitlin and Hope leaves. Mara looks at the glass and asks for the glass from Angela, and she uses the glass as for DNA. That would have made more sense.
I don't know. I just think the whole thing is hinky writing. Just saying. So the last comment that we want to address is, how could Jane tell that the print on the ring didn't belong to the deceased by looking at the print? It couldn't even be a whole print, only a partial one. I just want to say, Jane eyeballing the print on the ring and going, oh, it's not a match for this other print. Fucking ridiculous. When she did that, I wanted to slap somebody because you can't just eyeball fingerprints and be like, oh, no, that's not a match. That was probably, like, one of the last things that I was like, I'm ready to be fucking done. I'm just done.
Everyone knows no one's watching for the plots. There's so many things that's happening that people pick up. They're like, why did this happen? I don't understand. Why would this happen? This is what you should do. If you know no one's really caring, you should still have it where it makes sense. Even though we're not caring about the plots, you should still have it like it makes sense, or a little CSI Boston, a little something something, just a little, just to make it decent.
Well,
it looks like a 5-year-old kid just broke this crime thing. They're like, well, we gotta have a crime. Because I know the real reason for Rizzoli now is not because of crime. It's because of, it's a character-driven show.
Yeah, and we all get that. But when you take the procedural facts about the show and you make them so inaccurate that you stop enjoying the character aspect of the show, and all you can do is focus on how wrong they're getting the procedural part of it. I mean, it would have taken 2 seconds to say, oh, it might be a match. Let's have the lab techs to take a look at the fingerprints and compare them to double check and make sure that they are a match. Rather than Jane sitting there eyeballing and go, well, this looks like a match. We're going to go ahead and arrest so-and-so.
I know that time is an issue, especially with television, because you can only have so much time. But I feel like sometimes they waste time on stupid shit and not focus on time on the important stuff.
Right. We give the writers so much shit. But you have to understand that we do it for the love of the show. We love Rizzoli and the Isles. We love watching the show. But sometimes it's so painful to watch the show that it takes the enjoyment right out of it.
Yeah, we don't hate it. If we hated the show, we wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, we wouldn't be having a podcast about the show. We would just be like, oh, man, we're not even going to bother. Did you watch the episode? No. Oh, I guess we're not doing that podcast.
If you don't know how much we love the show, it's not just because we do the podcast. When you love something so much, you want it to be better. It's just like, if you care about something, you criticize it, and you want it to, you're saying your feelings and your thoughts, and you want it to get better. I feel like criticism is better than, like, oh, I like positive stuff. Like, yeah, it's great. This is perfect. It's great. You know, criticism is, like, it's a good thing, because it's saying, like, you need to change this. You need to do that. Maybe you should try this instead. We want it to be better. That's the reason why every podcast we're like, oh, I wish they do this. Because we know, I mean, look at the talent that they have on the show. Sometimes I feel like the cast is just being wasted. Like, they're so talented. We've seen great episodes of Rizzoli Nows. We have. We've seen episodes that are like, that was fantastic. So we know that they can do it. The thing is, why they're not doing it, I don't understand.
That's all for this episode. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at The Randy Podcast. Also, visit our blog at therizzolianowlspodcast.blogspot.com, where you can comment and email. Thank you for listening.
And this case is closed.
BPD.
Say it fast 5 times.
BPD. BPD. BPD.
It's like a bad STD or something.
I have BPD.
What's the name of this episode? No, I don't give a shit. It's true.